Is it time to partay for parity? Parity between the European single currency and the U.S. dollar? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Stock prices were sharply lower in early trading today, and a lot of that sentiment stems from the surging dollar. The dollar seems set to reach parity with the euro at some week soon. The day $1 equals 1 euro. Mark Lucchini is chief investment strategist at Janney Montgomery Scott. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
So the euro down another 1% at the moment. If you want a euro, it costs just over $1.07. As the French say, pourquoi?
It's a phenomenon of the U.S. economy performing quite well relative to at least other developed markets. And in addition to that, the prospects of our central bank being on a divergent path relative to many other central banks around the world, particularly the European Central Bank, which is undertaking its form of quantitative easing at a time when the U.S. Federal Reserve is contemplating lifting interest rates.
So our interest rates are probably going up. I mean, that's clearly the writing on the wall. And that tends to attract capital from overseas, boosting the dollar. Meanwhile, as you say, the Europeans are doing the opposite. They're doing so-called quantitative easing, which lowers interest rates.
Absolutely. And hopefully it'll be stimulative for the European economy. So it's important for global activity. On the other hand, as it relates to the U.S. market, since U.S. multinationals and their profits represent about half of the total earnings of the S&P 500 index, it's a bit worrisome. And that's what's troubling investors as to how are they going to overcome the currency headwinds of the U.S. dollar strength with regard to their revenues that they derive from overseas markets.
Mark Lucchini at Janney Montgomery Scott, thank you so much.
You're welcome, David.
Tomorrow could be a big day for Goldman Sachs. The bank was among 31 U.S.-based holding companies undergoing the annual Federal Reserve stress test, and Goldman could have done better. Analysts and investors are watching to see if this means Goldman Sachs is forced to shift away from one of its favorite financial strategies. Gigi Duban explains.
Stock buybacks pump up earnings per share by reducing the number of shares. And Goldman Sachs loves this game. Alan Michael teaches at the Boston University School of Management.
When you take a look at Goldman, as compared to a lot of financial institutions, Goldman has relied on buybacks.
Last year, Goldman Sachs spent $5.5 billion buying its own stock. Shareholders love it because they're getting cash. But regulators want to see more capital assets. Stephen Hoops is an analyst with IBIS World.
So the Fed's mostly just looking at if a recession were to happen, if a big change in the market were to occur, how would these big banks handle that?
If the Fed say Goldman can't use its capital to buy its own stock, it's estimated the bank could earn almost $2 less per share next year, which Michael says, even for a powerhouse like Goldman, is a big deal. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
There's word this morning that small business optimism is up because of or despite tight labor market conditions. A survey of more than 700 small businesses found 29% were having trouble finding talent to fill open positions. Now, yesterday, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reported on what this job market feels like for the job hunters. Today, our man Hartman checks in with some companies that are trying to recruit new employees in what is hands down the hottest field right now, high tech.
The company Treehouse in Portland, Oregon, runs a global education network to teach computer coding. And at their industrial chic open plan offices, a new employee will find the requisite perks that abide at pretty much any successful startup. The ubiquitous ping pong table.
Wow. You got a good start.
And here at another local software company, they've got old school video games. Plus the espresso bar and a cozy cubby for afternoon napping. And that's just the creature comforts.
This is probably the best market for new grads in probably 5 or 6 years.
Kurt LeCount of Jacobs Engineering was recruiting at a standing room only job fair at the University of Portland recently. He says for math and science grads, it's not exactly free car and country club time yet.
I wouldn't say it's a frenzy, but companies are getting a lot more aggressive. The car thing, maybe not so much, but maybe a window desk, I don't know.
LeCount is absolutely ready to compete on career opportunities, travel to exotic places, and salary. Starting pay for engineers has surged above $62,000 this year. The company Match.com is also competing hard for new employees. Lisa Nelson in HR says having online dating experience isn't a requirement of employment, although
we have many employees that found their significant other or spouse using a Match product, and they will tell their story to anyone who will listen.
Nelson says the Dallas-based company's not only vying with other dot-coms for tech talent, they have to beat out companies in retail, real estate, and finance, too. Dan Finnegan runs the recruitment site JobVite. He says bargaining power is shifting to the potential employee in many fields, and the companies that'll win?
They're the ones who've redesigned their career website to be quite appealing. You can apply for jobs on your mobile device. They are targeting high-demand people the way marketers do to sell their products.
And maybe if they're playing a little ping pong, they could let the job candidate win. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And some bloggers have been pondering the class struggle implications of Apple's new wristwatch. Similar electronics inside, but prices for the watch will range from the accessible to $17,000 for the 18-karat rose gold one. The segmenting so radically by class is new for Apple, but it's old hat for the car industry. If you think of Volkswagen, it makes workaday Golfs, but it also makes Audis, Porsches, and Lamborghinis. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.